Well, our text this evening is the first line of that song. So let us turn to Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. And we'll also be reading out of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. But our scripture reading is Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. So maybe you guessed that our topic tonight is comfort. Maybe. Okay. Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. And that's the reading of God's word. And now we'll read Lord's Day 1. Lord's Day 1. If you'd like to turn and read with me, it's on page 8 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. So Lord's Day 1, we'll be reading both question and answers 1 and 2. So question 1 is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head. Assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing. And question 2, what must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? I thought it'd be a good time to encourage us in the world we live in to think about comfort. Because I think a lot of us, I know I do, sometimes lay my head down on the pillow and think, oh Lord, what's going to happen tomorrow? And I really need that comfort that only the Lord can give. You know, it seems like our world is spinning more and more out of control every day. And we know that our God is sovereign and our God's in complete control. But sometimes it's hard to remember that. And so the Heidelberg Catechism starts out by asking, what is our only comfort in life and in death? You know, comfort is something that we need. You know, but the world has a way of comfort. But God has a way of comfort. You know, the world's way of comfort may last a day, maybe 2 days. But then it leads to destruction. You may be happy for a little bit from the world's comfort, but in the end, you'll be very sad. But the Bible tells us about a comfort that we can only receive from Jesus, because we belong to Him. He's our faithful Savior. And tonight, I just wanted to encourage us, or maybe even remind us, that if you are in Christ, you already have this comfort. You belong to Him, the one who holds the universe in place. How often do we think about that? Jesus, the one who spoke and raised His friend Lazarus from the grave. He holds your life in His hands. That should bring us comfort. Think of Jesus, the one who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He bought you. And the price was his life. The hard part of that is realizing that every day when we struggle, when we see things on the television or we read the news, but no, we belong to him. We have comfort for living and for dying. So the main theme of the catechism really is comfort. If you read through the questions, comfort pops up over and over again. How does this bring you comfort? How do you find comfort in this? And question and answer one, what is your only comfort in life and in death? You know, I was thinking about polling just the average person out maybe at the grocery store or on the street and asking, what do you really find comfort in? And at times like these, in the year 2020, what do you find comfort in? I wonder what the average person would say. You know, most people probably find comfort in their possessions, their homes, their cars. You know, nowadays people, a lot of young high school students find comfort in their phones. They love their phones. And I'm the chaplain at Linden Christian, and I've talked to a student who came to my office and was tearing up because their parents took their phone away, and they didn't know how they were going to do it. And I was like, wait, what's going on? Your mom took your phone away and you're going to cry? Oh, yeah. Because they're attached to it. I know that's none of you high schoolers in here, but no. But where do people find comfort in? Maybe they find comfort in their positions at work or their power that they hold over people. You know, maybe people find comfort in food. I know that's where I would fall. See, the world tries to gain comfort through things. But those things are never lasting, are they? You know, some try looking within themselves for comfort. Some try to earn their way to heaven. Some tell themselves, you know, I've done enough good. I can find comfort in that. That's sad, isn't it? Because we know that they'll never earn enough to make their way into heaven. That's not comforting. So our text this evening from Isaiah 40, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says our God. God wants us to know that the war between God and man is over. Our iniquities have been pardoned. Our sins have been paid for. We did not receive the punishment that was due. Christ took our punishment. He fully satisfied the price of our sins. And so when we hear these words, comfort, comfort ye my people, says our God, that should be a comfort to us. All of our sins have been paid for. He will bring us peace. God gives you comfort when you ask. Remember we prayed this morning, went through David's prayer this morning. And he prayed to show him the way, show him the path, that he trusted in Christ. And he had comfort in that. He knew God would be with him along the way, and that brought him comfort. And our comfort comes from God. And as Christians, we believe God is triune. And the Athanasian Creed tells us this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, and another of the Holy Spirit. And we see when we read the Catechism answer to question one, that there's the Trinity comes out in it. The Trinity is part of our comfort. And I want to break down this in sections for us this evening. First, we'll see that what the Son, our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, has accomplished for us. He has accomplished our deliverance. Next, we'll see what it means to say, my Father. Think about that. We can call God our Father. And finally, we'll see how the Holy Spirit applies the truth to our lives and gives us assurance of this comfort. See, the whole catechism builds on these Trinitarian truths. And it is these truths that we need to hold on to when we start to lose that comfort, when we start to get scared, when we start to worry, when we start to stress. Can we say that we find comfort in the Lord? One thing I think people often forget about is that we need both comfort in life and in death. What do I mean? Living is not always the easiest. We might think, living's been okay. Maybe for some of us it has. But bad things happen, don't they? People get sick. Disease happens when we don't even expect it. We just had a recent graduate. They found out he had bone cancer. He's 18 years old. He was at Dort, and they had to send him home. No idea. Just one day, his leg started to hurt. And then he thought, he played football, and maybe I got a dead leg and it's bruised. And then the next day, it hurt more. And then the third day, he couldn't feel his foot anymore. That's weird. And so they went and had an MRI, and they found he had a tumor in his calf. He was just living his life. And then one day, he has got the news. You have a tumor. So we deal with struggles all the time. But one thing the world doesn't realize is that our God is here to comfort us through these, to walk alongside us when these crazy things happen in our lives. Because God is holy and just. And he looks at us and he doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees Christ's righteousness clothing us. And that's why there's truth in answer number one for comforting the Christian. See, we don't belong to ourselves anymore, do we? Someone has paid the incalculable price for us. A price that we could never pay on our own. You know, this is what Paul says in Romans. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's. That's the comfort we need to be living in. What's your only comfort in life and in death? See, Jesus, he delivered us. So we don't have to be scared anymore. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be stressed. No, we have comfort. That everything's going to be okay in the end. It was with his precious blood that he paid our debt. One of the things we need to remember is that the devil has no power over God's people. I think sometimes we feel like he's in complete control of what's going on, don't we? Oh, the devil, he's at it again. You know, my son, he's in high school. And he fully believes that the devil's out to get him. And the world's out to get my son, yeah, right? Because, you know, it's always attacking. The world attacks us. The devil attacks us. But I keep telling him, no, you are in Christ. You don't have to be afraid of the attacks anymore. The devil has no power over him. Death has no power over him. Death has lost its sting to those in Christ, those who find comfort in Christ. The Apostle Paul tells us death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. See, the Son is our deliverer. See, Christ didn't make salvation possible so that when we can do our part to fill the gaps. No, he's fully paid for our sin. You don't have to do anything for salvation. You come to Christ humbly. Christ said, "It is finished." Do we find comfort in those words of Jesus on the cross? It is finished. He said it. It's done. Christ is our deliverer. So let's move on to our second point this evening. Because of what Jesus has done, He provides a way to the Father. Jesus tells us this in John 14. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. See, before we came to Christ, we were just children of wrath. We were sons and daughters of Adam. There's no comfort in that. But now we can confess with the Heidelberg. It says, and so preserves me that without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, that all things must work together for my salvation. My Father in heaven. That brings us comfort. Right? We've been reconciled to God. The war is over. I don't know how often that I think that, but I one of the things that I wonder is if we really understood the concept of going to God and saying, my Father, how much comfort that would bring us every day. You know, the Apostle Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ Jesus. You see, that's our entrance to calling him our Father. Jesus being born of a woman, being born under the law, to redeem those under the law. He lived a life on earth perfectly, so you don't have to, because we can't. He bridges the gap. He tells fallen humanity, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's only through Jesus that we could bring our petitions and walk right into the throne room of God, and he hears us. He wants us to be there. That's a comfort. You know, we teach our little kids the Lord's Prayer, don't we? And how does this start? Our Father who art in heaven. That's precious to teach our kids that. Teaching our kids to know that God is their Father. He holds them in the palm of his hand. He protects them. That should be a parent's comfort right there, knowing that our kids, our precious kids, are in God's hands. One pastor writes this, the Father of our Savior loves all who love his Son. And he will care for them so that no one harms even a hair. Wow. You know, our Heavenly Father can turn every bad thing to good. Doesn't mean things are going to be good. Doesn't mean we're not going to get sick. Doesn't mean we're not going to lose our job. But he turns them to good. Think about that. How comforting is that? I think one of the things we forget about in times like today is that as we see things spinning out of control, we stop comfort. We stop like looking for Christ for comfort. But that's the first place we should go. That's the first place we should go. And third, the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. See, it brings us comfort because he is what may help us belong to Jesus. He applies all of Christ's work to us. And we see that in answer one. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. See, the Holy Spirit applies all that Christ's done. Everything that Christ done, his perfect life, is yours. You have this gigantic bill before you come to Christ. You owe so much. But Christ says, no, 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 no. I paid it. And the Holy Spirit says, that one's yours, and he stamps it. Says, okay, paid for, paid in full. Everything that Christ did has been applied to your account. The gospel promise that by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the believer is Christ and Christ is the believer. That will never change. Even when you trip up, even when you sin, we do. But we ask forgiveness. He doesn't say, oh, guess what? You owe all that debt again. No. It's gone. It's been paid for at the cross. This is a certainty. It's a certainty. That should bring us comfort. So what I'm trying to do tonight, beloved, is to encourage you to know everything relies. Everything, all the fears we have, no, it's Christ. We belong to Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, in Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you believe that? It goes on to say, who is the guarantee of our inheritance upon the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? See, the Holy Spirit unites us to Christ. We're co-heirs now with Christ. And the writer of the Heidelberg, he writes this in his commentary. This assurance is obtained in the first place from the testimony of the Holy Spirit working in us true faith and conversion, bringing witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God. Whew, that's got to be comforting to us. When we truly grasp this inheritance that's ours, we'll want to live a life worthy of the Lord, like David did this morning. We'll want to walk the path. It won't be a chore. I know a lot of Christians think that the Christian life's a chore and it's hard. But if you truly understand the comfort that we get from Christ, the Christian life is easy. We should look forward to telling people about the glory of God, the grace we find in the gospel. So what's our only comfort in life and in death? That we belong, body and soul, to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, because He's delivered us from sin and power of the devil. He's brought reconciliation to all the sons and daughters of Adam who have faith in Him, so that we could say, my Father in heaven. And by the Holy Spirit, we have assurance of eternal life. And we'll want to share the gospel to everybody because they need to hear it. So that leads us to question and answer two. How many things are necessary for us to know that this comfort, you may live and die happy? Three things. First, the greatness of my sin and misery. Second, how I am redeemed from all my sin and misery. And third, how I am to be thankful to God for such redemption. Now, if you look at that, the Trinity's there, isn't it? First, the greatness of my sin and misery. Well, that's the law, right? And the Father is perfect. And second, how I am redeemed from all my sin and misery. Well, there's the Son, and that's the gospel. And then third, how am I to be thankful to God for such redemption? Well, that's the Holy Spirit, because He applies everything that Christ has done to our lives. So even question and answer two has the Trinity in it. We can see the Trinity in this answer. And if you fully want to understand the truth of the comfort we find in question and answer two, we need to know these three things. We need to know our guilt. We need to understand that grace has been given to us. And third, we need to be able to show gratitude for what Christ has earned for us. So let's quickly go through these. First, the greatness of my sin and misery. The guilt section of the Heidelberg. This is the one I believe the church really needs to go over. The church really needs to get a grasp on this section of the Heidelberg. Because see, the American church believes that they're still good in people. They're still good in them. They think that they can cooperate with God for salvation. They don't like the idea that they can't choose God. They don't like the idea that they're truly sinful and totally depraved. You know, Ligonier Ministries just released their new 2020 state of... I have it written here. It's the state of theology. And every year they do a survey and they release it. And it goes to Christians all over America. And there was one statement that it kind of like, whoa, this is what the church believes. This is what it said. The statement was, everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. And so they gave that to Christians. And what they got back was 46% of the people that answered the survey agreed with it. 46% of Christians think that most people are good by nature. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what our Heidelberg Catechism says. We need to know the greatness of my sin and misery. See, Heidelberg says that we're not just a little sinful. No, we're terribly sinful, aren't we? We are dead in our sins and trespasses. There's no good there. The misery of man is so great that God the Father had to send his Son to pay for it. And that leads us into our second thing we need to know to live and die in this comfort. Second is how I am redeemed from all my sin and misery. The grace section of the Heidelberg. On the surface, it seems like this is the easy Sunday school answer, right? How am I redeemed from all my sin and misery? Jesus. We all know that answer. But there's so much more there. So if you go through the grace section, you'll see that you needed a mediator. And it couldn't be any mediator. It had to be truly God and truly man. It had to be the one who could live the perfect life, but yet take the wrath of God completely for his people. And if you're in Christ, he's done that for you. And the last part of the Heidelberg is how you're supposed to be thankful to God for such deliverance. If we can understand how great our sin is, and if we can remember that we're redeemed in Christ, why would we not show gratitude for all of that? But it's so hard, isn't it, in the world today, to stop and just thank the Lord for everything that we have. The Apostle Paul tells us this in Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's our lives now, beloved. Once we realize that we're complete filthy sinners, and that we needed a Savior, and he did it perfectly. Well, now is our time to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to live every day to bring glory to God. Every day. And one pastor said, if Christians can hold on to those three things, knowing how great their sin and misery is, how they've been set free from that sin and misery, and how to give God all the glory, if we could hold on to just those three things, that's everything necessary to live in comfort in life and in death. It is. But if we just hold on to one of those, or maybe two of those, it leads to bad theology, it leads to bad ideas in the church. No, we need to hold on to all three to live and die in the comfort. Do we have comfort today? That's the big question. The Heidelberg Catechism begins with two questions. The questions deal with comfort. And the teaching of these is to help Christians know that you belong to Christ. When the world seems to be spinning out of control, do we stop and think, oh Lord, you are in complete control. I trust in you. Or do we just sit back and go, oh boy, it's going to get crazier and crazier. No. My prayer is, as you go out this week, is that you remember Isaiah 40. Comfort. Yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended and that her iniquity is pardoned. Let's pray. Father God, we need your comfort. We need for you to walk beside us in life and in death. Help us to remember that the war is over. The sin has been pardoned. That it was not us who received the penalty, but your Son. And he is our faithful Savior. We belong to him. That's so comforting to know. Help us remember that as day goes by. And help us to know that you are sovereign and always in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.